talking about. Comfort one another with these words. All right? Now, let's continue the thought process. Okay? Let's continue the thought process. Verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Do you know when that thief's coming? Can you time that when that thief is coming? But wasn't Daniel specific about the last week on the time periods? Yeah. But he's saying you're not going to know. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, they should not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a what? Thief. Why? You are the children of the light and the children of the day, where we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us... What's the context about watching for what? What did he say in chapter 4? That the Lord is going to do what? Return. And we're going to meet him in the clouds. So he's contextually saying, watch. Be waiting. Because I'm coming as a thief in the night that you're not going to know of. So they have to live in an imminent mindset. That means he can come at any moment, at any time, to catch us out of this earth and be in the clouds. You with me? Okay, so look at the next verse. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and the helmet for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, I hope you guys said that. Remember that word we had you read real loud a minute ago. Does anybody remember that word? Oh, thank you. That's why I had to say it loud. Say it again. Wrath. What contextually was wrath referring to when we read it?
The tribulation.
Would you guys agree? The day of the Lord. Indignation. Judgment. Punishment. Right? All that. And we said wrath. We all agree. We read day of the Lord. Did we not? Okay. Who's writing this book? Paul. Who is he talking to? The church or Israel? The church. Let's see what he says to the church in verse 9. This is still contextually about the rapture, right? From chapter 4. You guys agree? It's all one flow. He says in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to... Is that a coincidence? Did it just show up randomly? Or is Paul specifically talking about what they were worried about? He just told them, you guys are worried, don't be worried. I'm coming back from my church, I'm going to call you out to the clouds. Comfort one another with these words. Yeah, the day of the Lord is coming like a thief in the night. But guess what? You are children of the light. If you are awake and sober and waiting, it's going to be all right. And by the way, I have not appointed you to what? But. Think about it. I have not appointed you to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is by what he has done for us. So he said, I'm not appointing you to wrath. What's the point of me going to a cross and saving you from your sins when I'm bringing down wrath for those that reject me? It doesn't make any sense for you to accept me and then I put you through the punishment, through the indignation, through the wrath, and through all the suffering. How am I? And then I'm telling you that you're obtaining salvation. God, what salvation are you talking about anyways? Because contextually, we're not talking about hell. Contextually, Paul is responding to worried Christians about that he's already came. We're not talking about hell here. We can't just start putting in stuff that's not in there. He's talking about end time thought. He's talking about people worrying and crying because my uncle was dead and he's not going to miss the rapture. And he's like, no. No, it's not what's happening. It's not what's going on. You guys with me? So you see clearly here that we find that he is saying that God has not appointed us to wrath. And this to me is a key scripture. When you study end time revelation, when it comes to the church, you must understand God has not appointed you to wrath. When you put your faith in him and you went down in the watery grave in Jesus' name and you came up and newness of life, the Lord said, you are part of my church. I am separating you in that gap period that gave you an opportunity to find salvation until I go back to Israel and I bring my judgment and I bring my wrath and I bring my punishment to those that said no to me. Guess what, church? It was a mystery. But thanks be to God, we are under the dispensation of grace, and therefore we are spared from the tribulation because of it. Because my sins have been washed away, and I believe in him, I'm being spared. And John said it from what he heard Jesus say. I'm keeping you from the hour of temptation. I'm keeping you from that. You're not going to have to go through all that because you believed in my word. Verse 11. Another scary verse. Is that a scary verse? Is that a worrisome verse? The church should be comforted concerning end times. He says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. You're not going to sit here and tell me that we're going to talk about post-tribulation and those are comforting words. Because when I teach you guys the book of Revelation, ain't nothing to be comforted about. A third of the water turned to blood? I'm not liking that very much. Having to take a mark of the beast and having my head chopped off and all this, that's not comforting to me. Are you serious? How is that comforting? I'm terrified. I know how you... Have you ever thought about missing the rapture before? Have you ever... I don't know about you guys. I've been in church all my life, so I've had those moments. You might not have... I've had the moments where you go somewhere with some church people supposed to be, and you the only church person there, and you thinking for a half a second, my, did I miss it? Am I the only one? I'm like... Especially at the house. You know, my parents were saved folks, right? And you thought they was home. The car was there. Well, where are they at? I don't see my brother. I don't see my sister. I don't see my mom and dad. I'm the only one here. Lord, I'm sorry. No, Lord. Okay, I'm the only one. It's happened. I know when it happens to you guys, when the time clock changes, right? You spring back or fall forward. You come to church early or late, and you wonder where everybody's at. You didn't change your clock correctly, and you got to church early, and nobody was there. It's not funny, but it is funny. It's not funny, but it is funny. Right? It would be truly not funny if it was real, but there's time to repent. It's true. It's true. But if you understand who you are in God, that he has covered you, he has saved you, it gives you that much more opportunity to magnify and praise him and thank him that he saved you from wrath that is coming. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you for saving me. It's not hard to worship when I think in these terms. It's not hard to magnify and praise him when I know what he is keeping me from. I know I've been redeemed. That's why he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You can't say so unless you know what you are being held from. So when I know what I'm being spared from, I say, thank you, Jesus. I accept your blood. I accept your righteousness. I don't want to go through the wrath. I don't want to go through the wrath. I want to make it. I want to make it. Someone raise your hands one more time and say, I want to make it. I want to be ready. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And we will be ready if we continue to seek after his face and his will. Praise God. Now, Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 32. Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 32. And it is called as well the Lamentations of Jeremiah afterwards, because he got a glimpse, and so he cried so much when he saw the destruction of Israel. He had a glimpse in the Old Testament by dealing with that and seeing his people carried away. Jeremiah 25 and verse 32. Yeah, both verses. Yeah, you got it. We'll read both. Jeremiah 25 and verse 32. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. He's prophesying to them about this great day of the Lord, because there is going to be not thousands but millions of people killed at one time. All kind of plagues that they are going to have to face and deal with. It is going to be a horrible, horrible time to live in. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 21. Isaiah 26 and verse 21. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Isaiah 26, 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Sin is going to be exposed, and sin is going to be dealt with in regards to allowing the Antichrist to have rule during that time. And of course, he is going to destroy those that even halfway understand that they missed the rapture, but recognize that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. I truly believe that there is only going to be one church that is going to be raptured. I am not the judge. The Lord is going to save whoever he wants to save, and Lord, let your will be done in that regard. But I tell you what, there will be people that may have missed the truth are going to come to understanding. I know who was missing. There was those Jesus name people, those tongue-talking people, those holy rollers. They're not here anymore, and they're going to recognize the error of their ways. And at that time, God is going to allow there absolutely to be some that are going to have an understanding of the error of their ways, and they're not going to take the mark of the beast. There's going to be tribulation saints that understand that they're going to have to die for their belief, but they're going to do it. Praise God. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. I'm going to actually end early on this next verse here, and then we'll pray. I want us to pray some more. So again, our context has been talking about what was their thought process. So let's look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus chapter 2. We saw clearly in the Old Testament and even in the book of Daniel that they were looking for that Messiah. They were looking for that Messiah. Well, when he comes, they missed him. Well, what is the church looking for now? What is our focus, since we know the Messiah has come? And one of my favorite scriptures we will read here in Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Well, let's start with verse 11. This is important teaching too. We have to understand it is the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Everybody is going to have an opportunity to say yes to the gospel. God knows all things, and we must trust God to be sovereign and righteous in that way. Now, how? That's not for me to find out. That's for him to know. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, we should live righteously, and we should live godly in this present world. Pastor, I can't live in this present world with all the temptations that are around me? Well, the Lord has commanded us to do so in this present world. And he doesn't mean hiding in a closet somewhere. He said, let your light shine. There should absolutely be a good dichotomy, a good contrast between the people of God and those that are not. That's why we're not ashamed of what we believe here. We're saying we absolutely are identified with saying we are on the Lord's side. Now, verse 13. Looking. We say looking for that blessed hope and the great or the glorious appearing of the great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament church were looking for the rapture. They were looking for that imminent return. They kept themselves ready. That's why they separated themselves from the world, because they knew that he could come at any moment, at any time. We're going to look more into that, praise God, as we continue our series. I want us to close our eyes here for a moment, and I want us to slow down a little bit and just to chew on what we've learned today, especially the scripture concerning that God have not appointed us to wrath, that Jesus Christ made a way for us, that he gave us an opportunity to know him, and to be separated from the wrath that is going to come upon his people, the children of Israel, and upon those that deny the wonderful saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord God, as I come here tonight, Lord God, receiving this word, I want to recognize that I am a sinner that was saved by your grace, and that you have spared me, Lord God, and therefore I know I'm looking for your imminent return.